Welcome this morning to the commemorative service for Wayne and Nolan Rebillion. I'm not sure whose idea it was for me to lead this service. That song could be said is the heart cry of my parents through their ministry. And it's one that I grew up hearing, and it has great significance. But bear with me as I get through a few opening announcements as we start today. Also on January 2nd, we have the joy of officially recognising Jen and see you as pastor, the new pastor of this church. And Jen, in many ways, has started already, officially starts this week, but we have that special service to look forward to as well. Please bow with me as I lead out in prayer this morning. Father, it's with great joy that we can meet together in this way this morning. We thank you for the new freedoms that we have to be able to meet, to be able to worship together. We thank you for the opportunity that we have in this service to be reminded of your faithfulness to us through all these years, for your faithfulness that has shone forth through your servants. And we pray that each and every element of this service would bring glory to your name. May each and everyone be able to leave this day praising you for the kindness that you have shown us, for the mercy that you have poured out on us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, perhaps when a CEO retires, or a captain succumbs to injury, or a political leader steps down, we or others may take the opportunity to assess success. Perhaps we might measure profits, games won, or landmark legislation that's been implemented. When a pastor retires, when a shepherd hands over the shepherding, what possible measure can we use? Indeed, most measures would be self-oriented, at risk of inflating pride. Rather, shouldn't our desire and encouragement to one another be to remain faithful to the end? Paul said in Acts 20 and verse 24, "But I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself. If only I may finish my course and the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." A sacrificial faithfulness. This morning, we take this opportunity not to elevate man in pride, but to thank God for his servants to this church that have been that model of sacrificial faithfulness. Wayne and Nolene, Mum and Dad. We thank God that his faithfulness has been lived, preached, and encouraged through your faithful service to this church since March of 1993. And perhaps if you were the one standing here right now, you would testify, God is great, and may his love spread through the Blue Mountains and indeed the whole world. And so please stand with me as we sing this morning, Our Great Saviour.
If you could like to turn with me to 2 Timothy and chapter 2. Timothy chapter 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in the warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. May God bless that passage to us later as we look at it.
Morning, everyone. My name is Carlo, and I've been here for 4 years now, and I just want to give a word of testimony to what the Lord has done in my personal life, in my family's life, through Wayne and Nolene. Just want to just do a quick short prayer, if that's okay. Father in heaven, I understand that all good things come from you, and everything good in Wayne and Nolene certainly comes from your hand. But I so badly want to honour them this morning, and so I just pray that you'd mingle those two things in this testimony. In your son's name we pray. Amen. When Sonia and I first came to this church, we were desperate for sound teaching on the gospel, and you'd be surprised at how hard that might be to find in the mountains. When we first heard Wayne preach, we were shocked. We were surprised that someone could speak so plainly and honestly on the gospel. It was everything we'd been hoping for, and we wholeheartedly began attending the church, thanks mainly to Wayne's preaching. After we met Nolene and felt her motherly kindness, there was no way we could walk away from this church family. Her love and warmth and motherly care just intensified for us the truths that Wayne would preach on Sunday. Not long after we started attending, Wayne led Sonia and I through a baptism Bible study, and then he baptized us. He then led us through a membership Bible study, and so we became members. Finally, he led me through a preaching Bible study, and now I'm preaching. Wayne is an incredibly methodical man. He sees a need in your life. He pushes you to study your need in the scriptures, and then he pushes you into pursuing or serving the church in what you've studied. I've admired so much his discipline and adherence to the word of God. I've never seen it in any other man that I've known personally. And I've never spent so much valuable time with any other man. To tell you the truth, when Son and I first heard that we're going to be getting a new pastor, we thought that the church had made a huge mistake. We'd never seen a man preaching like this, and we'd never seen a woman so dedicated to his ministry and the ministry of this church. And so we thought these two were at the peak of their ministry. The Sunday I found out they were looking to retire, I went home and cried because it felt like my dad had told me he was leaving home. I'm really excited to have a new pastor with us. So thankful that we have Jen and Sue now, and they're going to bring wonderful fruit to this church. I'm excited to be working with them and watching the blessing they bring. But in my heart, I still don't feel like letting go of my spiritual parents. I just want to give a small list containing some of the things that they've blessed my life with over these 4 years. I just want to emphasize first that every time you try and give Wayne an encouragement or compliment, he's going to reply, "If there's anything good in me, it's from the Lord." And that is true. But in light of this phrase, please just let me share with you how much of the Lord was actually in these two people. Sonia and I now aim to have the word of God at the center of our lives because they have been a living witness to us and shown us the transforming effect it has had on their lives. We now put heavy emphasis on prayer because they put heavy emphasis on prayer. And we've seen the results of their immense prayer life for us in this church. We now want to carry on in the ministry of the word because of how studiously they've both done it and because they have literally changed our lives with it. I now preach the word because Wayne inspired me with his preaching. He's a hero to me, and I want to be a man of the word like him. Sonia wants to give herself to ministries in the church because she's watched a selfless, sacrificial woman do it with joy and without complaint, and she's inspired to serve her Lord and Master the same as you, Nolene. My family is happy, and we used to be sad. Sonia and I have strengthened our marriage where there used to be weakness. Our children now have parents who seek to obey our Lord, and so their lives are completely different. The after effects of what this couple have done to our lives is only just starting to be seen in my extended family, and they're being saved one by one. And a great part of that is thanks to you. Wayne and Nolene, you've accomplished a lot that I haven't seen in that 29 years, but the purpose of this testimony is to say that in just 4 short years, you've completely altered the entire course of my life and the life of my family. Of course, I want to recognize that none of this is possible without the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and his mercy saving us from our sins. But the scriptures are clear. Listen to this. Hebrews 13 verse 7 says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. You've done that. I believe the highest attainment here on earth is to live a life worthy of imitation. And Sonny and I hope to both imitate you in your devotion to the word of God, your intercessory prayer life, your love for the family of God, and ultimately your devotion and love to our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank the Lord so much for how he's used both of you to change our lives. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. For those of you who haven't met me yet, I'm Jan, and I'm so privileged this morning to bring to us the Word of God. I'm sure that Wayne wouldn't have it another way. He wouldn't want us to expose his life or to tell a long history of how he did the ministry. He would want us to go to the Word of God, as he did for 29 years here at Central Mountains Baptist Church. And so, dearly beloved, let's open our Bibles, shall we? Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. And would you kindly stand up as we together read Ephesians 4, verses 7 through 16. Ephesians 4, 7 through 16. Let's read this responsibly. I'll read verse 7, you read verse 8, we'll do just about that. Till we reach verse 16, and we'll read verse 16 together. The word of God tells us, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift.
The word of God says, you may serve on high, he led in captivity, and gave it to his
servant. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers.
For the equipping of the saints, for the word of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of the deceitful world.
But, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. By what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for your grace and your mercy upon us, that you have given us this opportunity to be gathered today in your day to glorify you, to worship you. And we have this opportunity to fellowship with one another, our family. Thank you, dear Lord, for the joy that we feel in our hearts and for the peace that you give to us, even though we go through a lot of difficult times. But we thank you, O Lord, of course, for your servant, whom you have used for many years. Thank you so much for empowering and for just using his life to be an instrument of the gospel. I thank you, Lord, for your word that now we're going to study. I pray you give us wisdom. I pray you help us focus, Lord, whatever distractions that may come in our minds today or this morning. I pray take them away, Lord, so that we may be able to truly give our full attention to the reading, to the study of your word, because this is your instrument for changing our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all. Please be seated. Our message this morning is entitled Pastors Christ's Gift to the Church. Pastors Christ's Gift to the Church. Now, if you go to Ephesians chapter 1, as a way of an introduction, this specific letter, it's an epistle. It was written by Paul. It's one of the prison epistles because it was written while Paul was in prison. And if you look at verse 1 and chapter 1, it says there, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And here we see to whom it was written to originally. It was written to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. So there was a church in the city, the old city called Ephesus. And Paul wrote this specific letter to them. And this is a very special letter, as we know, of course, because it was preserved by God to be included in the canon of Scripture. It's inspired, and therefore, it was preserved for us to have. So we are not the original recipients of this letter. In some way, one way or another, we are kind of like eavesdropping into what Paul was telling the believers in Ephesus. But God, of course, by his great sovereign plan, preserved this letter so that we can also learn from what Paul has to say to the church in Ephesus. So Paul wrote this around 60 AD to 62 AD. So like 30 years after Christ ascended to heaven. So Paul was looking to this church and he saw a lot of things going on. Now, there's always a lot of things going on in churches. You and I know that. You know, there are some good, there are some bad, dramatic things. You know, if you want to have some drama, there's a lot of drama happening in churches. You know, in the Philippines, we're very dramatic in churches. Yeah, we are. And we have a lot of talks before, after the service, even during. You know, some people like, you know, doing like this. Oh, look at the pastor. Look, swearing. So a lot of drama. A lot of drama in churches, you know. But Paul wrote this letter because there were a lot of things going on, especially as far as doctrine is concerned. There are some wrong doctrines coming into the church. And Paul, of course, as he loved the church of Christ, wrote this letter so that they will be guided accordingly as far as what is truly true. As far as what they're truly going to do. So that the letter is simply divided into two. The first three chapters are the doctrinal part, truth. And then the second half, chapters 4 to 6, is what we call the practical part of the book, where we will get all of the practical aspects of what Paul would have the Ephesian believers do. So we are in chapter 4, right? So we are on the part where we are going to learn what we're supposed to do as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not to say that the second part here doesn't contain any doctrinal part at all. It does. It does contain a lot of doctrinal part as well, but what's highlighted here in these last three chapters are more of what they should do based on what they have learned from chapters 1, 2, and 3. So that's just about the background of the book of Ephesians. And as we go now to verse number 7 to verse number 16, but really the focus of our study will only be on a few chapters of verses here. But I just don't want to leave out all these verses because they go together so beautifully. So I have 3 points that I want to share with you this morning. The first is the identity of the giver. The identity of the giver. As was mentioned here in verse number 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists. And here is the emphasis this morning, some pastors and teachers. So who is the he himself here in verse number 11, whom the word of God tells us gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers? Well, we go back to verse number 7 for that. Look at verse number 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So the he himself here, these pronouns refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was he is the highlight of this passage as far as the one who was giving. This passage talks about Jesus Christ giving gifts. First, in verse number 7, to individual Christians. Look at verse number 7 again. But to each one of us. Remember, Paul was talking here to the church in Ephesus. He's talking here to saved people, to the redeemed of Christ. So Paul was telling them that each one of you, he says, has been given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, this is related to what we call spiritual gifts. We don't have the time to really delve into that this morning. But the scripture is plain and simple that once you become a Christian, once you trust Christ as your Savior, you are given grace. You are given gift, charis. Each one of you right now who professes to be a Christian, you have a gift. And it was given by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But not only individual gifts, he also gives, and we jump to verse 11 for this one, he also gives to the church as a whole, what? That's what I've enumerated here a while ago, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, it's amazing to me that the gift here is not really stuff. I mean, yes, he does give us stuff, right? He gives us keyboards and tables and chairs and flags and projectors and a lot of other stuff, right? But here the beauty of what Paul tells the Christians in Ephesus during his time, and he tells us today, is that he gives all the stuff, but the most important gifts of all are the people that he gives to the church to do certain ministries. Important, key ministries. Prophets, evangelists, apostles, pastors, and teachers. The scripture teaches us that God is the God of all grace. 1 Peter 5:10 tells us that he is the God of all grace. And then this is not surprising at all that he would give. He is a generous God. He gives and he gives and he gives. And actually the best evidence of that is his self-giving. Doesn't the scripture tell us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life? He gave himself. That's the first great evidence of his giving. If you turn a couple of, maybe a few pages before Ephesians, you go to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans 8:32. The word of God tells us here, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Paul, in another letter here to the Roman believers, tells us that he gave himself already. How much more are you going to give other stuff? Especially what the church needs. So Jesus Christ here gave, continually gives these people, these ministers to the church. That's the identity of the giver. So that, dearly beloved, listen. There might be a long story behind how Wayne and Lloyd got here. And I've heard it a couple of times. And I love it. I always love those stories. You know, how did you get to know CNBC? Where did you come from? Like, you know. And I hope you know the story. If you haven't, maybe we'll ask Wayne and Nolan to come up here later on and tell us a story while we're eating and fellowshipping, you know. But it's a wonderful story. But listen, the shorter version of the story is this, that Christ led them here. That's it. Christ gave them to the church. That's the shorter story. But of course, we love to know the details, right? Because that would enable us to see how God works behind the scenes and supernaturally arrange everything so that at this very point, you're here, I'm here, they're here. And I praise the Lord that we are all here this morning. This is not, no accident, dearly beloved, that you're a part of CMBC or they are the ones called by God and our deacons and the evangelists. There's no accident in that because it's Christ who gives to his church. The second point is not only the identity of the giver, but the intensity of the giving. Look down again on your Bibles, verse number 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, I want to focus our attention to the word gave. Tiny word. Four letters. A verb. But of course, as we would know, the Bible was originally written in three different languages. Old Testament, mostly Hebrew, some parts Aramaic, and in New Testament, Greek. And so I went to the word gave, to the original language there, and lo and behold, it tells me that the word gave here is in the aorist indicative active form. Wow, what's that? Aorist indicative active form. Are we back in English, in our English class this morning? Well, this is an important point because, listen, the word gave then means, if it's in this form, that it was a simple, finished action in the past. In other words, there was a specific time in the past when Jesus Christ, the giver, already saw what's going to happen, right? He foreknows everything. He knows everything that will happen in the future. He knows that CMBC will exist. He knows that you are going to be here and the church would need a pastor. So what did he do? A certain time in the past, he thought, he planned, he gave Wayne and Nolene to us. That's the meaning of aorist indicative active form. It was a simple finished action in the past. Therefore, what this act of giving that we need to emphasize is this, that this was a sovereign plan of God. Christ, the head of the church, had already in time past laid down who will be the pastor of this church and in other churches as well, who will be the apostles, who will be the prophets, who will be the evangelists and the pastor teachers. Do you recognize how powerful that is? That even before maybe I was born or you were born, before even CMBC was, you know, formed, before Wayne even became a Christian, before even Australia became Australia, even before that, because God knows everything that will happen, he already gave. He already gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And that speaks huge about the control of God in human history. So that this very moment, no, 29 years ago, Wayne came in. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing to me. How that every single plan of God will happen as he deemed it. Nobody can thwart the plan of God. Nobody. And he specifically has the timetable. Not us. I'm sure Wayne and Olin didn't plan this. This 2021, this is going to be happening, and you all going to be here on December 19. No, we didn't know that's going to happen years, even weeks before. But God, in His wisdom, did all of this. And I use the word intensity here, the intensity of the giving, because, again, we can see here His deep love for His church. I am told in Ephesians chapter 5, if you go there to the next chapter, that passage where it's often used in weddings, you know, in marital counseling, but really it's about the church, right? Jesus Christ in the church. It says here in verse number 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that He might present her to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So you might say, what's the intensity of the giving there? Not only that God knows, God ordained already, God gave already in time past, but really, the reason there also is this, that He loves His church. He loves CMBC. He loves His body. And He knows how that if there's no pastor, there are no people like what He, the list that He gave here, if there are no such things in the church will suffer. The church will be led away to a path that will be bad. And so that's why Jesus Christ here gave. And He Himself gave. Now the more I hear again the story of CMBC and how Wayne and Nolan came into the scenario, I got to know you as well. Of course, your names will pop up everywhere. But during this past month before I came in, it was just all a blur. I kept on, you know, jotting down all your names, but I'm sure you experienced already one way or another that I missed your name or I called you as somebody else. Sorry about that. But another point I want to say here is that we're not only emphasizing pastors and teachers here. Because the list here, so you can see in verse 11, contains apostles, prophets, evangelists. So yes, because this is a commemorative service, so we're emphasizing the pastor teacher here. But it's a way of a challenge for us. We all have a role in the church. I believe that is the focus of Paul here when he says this. And he's not trying to emphasize one person over the other. The list seemed to be just so direct. Now, these are the gifts. These are the people that Christ gives. Of course, we know apostles. We don't believe in apostolic succession. We believe that the apostolic ministry, the apostolic office ended with the last apostle who died. But in one way or another, from that word apostolos, which means sent out, we are also like small a apostles. We are also sent out. Prophets, of course, the ministry of the prophets, he didn't only foretell, but they also foretell, meaning they don't only tell of the future events, but they also proclaim the word of God. And one way or another, we are also like that. We're commanded by the Lord to be ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, some evangelists. We need to be carrying the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere. And listen, you may not know this, but you are also a gift to the church. You may not feel like it, but you are a gift to us. And whatever spiritual gift God has given you, that is not for your own benefit alone. It's for the benefit of the church. So that if you don't use your spiritual gift, you don't take part in the ministry of the church, the ministry is kind of lopsided. We're missing something. We're missing you. So that if you continue to read the passage here that we have, the identity of the giver, Christ himself, the intensity of the giving, it was given long, way before. And the emphasis here is that he did not only give pastors and teachers, he gave us you, he gave us the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists. But the third point is the intentionality of the gift. The intentionality of the gift. In verse 12, we see these words, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, with the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head of, who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does it share, causes growth to the body for the edifying of itself in love. There's an intention behind the intensified giving of Christ. The intention is, what was the motive behind? What was the aim? The maturity, the growth of the church, the edifying of the church. Why apostles? Why prophets? Why evangelists? Why pastors and teachers? The reason is that we will all be equipped. Verse number 12, the word equipped there for the equipping of the saints, for the equipping is the word perfecting, a bringing to a condition of fitness, maturity, or completeness. It doesn't mean a sinless perfection. Okay, no, it doesn't mean like that. It means maturity. You become more complete. It is kind of related to that word used by Paul when he wrote to Timothy regarding the word of God. The word of God is sufficient, right? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for all of these things so that the man of God will be perfect. The word perfect there is the same. Mature. Complete. So that is the aim. His aim was that he wants to grow the church. And so another angle, as Warren Wiersbe would say, the saints do not call the pastor to pay him to do the work. That's embedded in the verse there, dearly beloved. They call him, says Wiersbe, and follow his leadership as he, through the word, equips them to do the job. That's the plan. Look at the words. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. I'm thankful to you guys that you did not murder Pastor Wayne. I'm thankful that he is still alive here to hear these things. That means you did share the ministry with him. Praise the Lord for that. And I hope that you will have that same commitment with me, lest I die early. So all of these people are given to the church for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. One of the most refreshing things coming in as a new pastor, really, you know what? If I would like to share with you this morning, is that we have a band of ministers here in this church already set forth. That when I came in, I don't need to do the cleaning, the Bible studies, the preaching, the music, the welcoming, the cooking, or else really, Sue will be a widow soon. I'm so happy that we have preachers. We have Krish ministers. We have Awana ministers. We have Lady. It's exciting for me. Because that is the plan of Jesus Christ. That's the intention of the gift he gave, so that the work will be shared by everyone. But not only that, it's for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. And that's exactly what Wayne did. He trained and he encouraged. He put people into ministry. Well, not he. It's Christ. But I'm sure there's a little bit of nudging there. Directing, right? But the verse continues in verse 12. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying. Edifying is an architectural term. It's an architectural term which means simply to build. To build up. Now, some of you here are builders. I've known. I'm not a builder. But the word here, edifying, is just that. Now, if you want to relate that to the spiritual realm, spiritually, it is the act of one who promotes another's growth in Christian wisdom, piety, holiness, and happiness. That's what one author has commented about this word. So we're here because we're helping each other to grow. I'm helping you to grow. You're helping me to grow. Do you think it's a one-way street? No, it's not. In fact, talking to some men and women here this past week, I've been here, I have been so encouraged. I have been edified. And rightly so, as what Acts 20:32 would tell us, it's through the ministry of the Word of God. Look at Acts chapter 20, please, dearly beloved. Acts 20, verse 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up. And to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So here we see the emphasis of the role of the Word of God. And that's what Carlos said, praise God, that he gave us a pastor who focused on the preaching of the Word of God. And we will do that by the grace of God. We will continue to do that. Because this is what God will use for our sanctification. John 17:17 tells us the word of God is truth, and it is the mode by which He changes us from our stature to Christ-likeness. It's the word of God. And we thank the Lord, as what Josh has emphasized this morning, faithfulness has been an example of our dear pastor. We praise the Lord that He faithfully fed the church with the pure Word of God, because the Word of God is the key. It's the key. Let's go to a few passages in 2 Timothy, dearly beloved. Would you please turn to 2 Timothy with me? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 tells us this word. Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. And teaching. Why would Paul tell Timothy this as a young pastor? Because Paul knows the Word of God is important in the ministry. That's how the church will grow. 2 Timothy chapter 2 this time. Verse number 2. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. What are these things? These are the teachings from the Word of God. Mostly from the Old Testament. But as Paul wrote, of course, more Bible books were added to the canon. But these words are for us, as these words are for Timothy. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. If you summarize that little verse there, it's faithfulness. You're committed to passing it on to the next generation. And we praise the Lord that our pastor was faithful in that. Passing it on, so that men and women will grow. I myself was challenged to do that by one of my mentors. When I graduated from the seminary, He called me to his office, and we had this heart-to-heart talk. I believe he came here one time to preach, Dr. Kent Poole. And he sat down and he talked to me and he said, B-boy, that's my nickname in the Philippines. B-boy, it was baby boy, I guess, and then it evolved to become B-boy. Don't call me B-boy, though. That's my past life. I'm just kidding. You can call me B-boy if you want, but I'll be shocked if you'd call me B-boy, by the way, because nobody knows me as B-boy anymore. But anyway, I'm Gian now, but he called me B-boy. B-boy, I'm retiring soon. I wanted to stay in the Philippines. This is where I taught for many years. I consider this as my home. But for some reasons, they can't stay in the Philippines. They wanted to, he said he wanted to die in the Philippines where he was called by God. But anyway, he said, this is the time when I'm really going to tell you something very important. And what I'm going to tell you is this. I want to pass on to you what was passed on to me. I've been doing that, by the way, if you haven't noticed. I said, yes, you have. But I want you to know that you need to continue that as well. I want you to continue that. It should not stop with you. And in one way or another, when I came to know Wayne last year, I felt another mentor kind of like passing it on to me. I think I'm the person here who know maybe Wayne and Nolin the least amongst everybody. I've only known them maybe a year and a half. But during my talks with them, video calls, I really got to know the heart of our pastor. And that little by little, I hear those words again, passing on. Passing on. 2 Timothy 2:2. Faithful man, committing to faithful man, shall be able to teach others also. And I pray that we will all be a part of this, not just me. So the edifying, the building, it's not just my work. So, of course, Christ's work behind the scene, but it's our work. In fact, the challenge this morning is that we must be more intentional in this. Because to tell you, a week has just gone by, right? But if I ask you, what have we done? Just this past week to build somebody up, we might honestly maybe say, oh, wow. I haven't done really anything intentionally, right? Time can just pass by so quickly and we forget that we are a part of a church. We're supposed to build up each other. I'm supposed to call and say, how are you doing? Let's, how can I pray for you? Can you please pray for me? Can we go and have coffee and let's discuss the word of God? Can I guide you into this? How can I come in and be a friend to you, a brother, a sister to you? That's the plan of God. That's a desire of God. But again, it's not for my benefit. It's for the benefit of the church. So I end this morning with these three points in mind. The identity of the giver, it's Christ. And then the intensity of the giving, he gave that even way, way before even time began. As I would even like to think about it, he gave us all of these blessings, these gifts to the church. Pastors and the apostles and evangelists and the prophets, but the intentionality of the gifts for the equipping of the saints and the edifying of the body of Christ. The challenge is I want us to draw our attention to 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2 and that passage that I have just read. Because if you don't notice, there are four generations there. Paul, you have heard of me. There's Timothy. Commit those, Timothy, to faithful men, third generation. And then those faithful men will be able to teach others also. Question, where are you? If we're going to discuss generational ministries here, where are you there? I'm sure we're somewhere there because somebody shared with you, committed their lives
to you so that you are here, right? Somebody told you about Christ. Somebody encouraged you. And that's why you're here. You're growing. Praise the Lord. But how about the next generation? From you, what are you doing? Who's next on the line? Who are you specifically, weekly, regularly, praying for, praying with, studying the scriptures with, serving with? That's the plan. Sad as it may seem, Wayne and Nolene's time as pastors and workers here, I'm sure God will lead them to other ministries. I know this both. They will not stop. They will not stop. They just have some rest a bit, and rest is good. But I'm sure they will not stop until they're 102 years old. But how about you? How about me? Where are you in that generation? Who are you discipling, encouraging, growing up? And maybe you're on the other end of the spectrum. Pastor, I need someone to help me grow. I haven't grown yet. And I know that. I want to be honest. Pastor, I haven't grown. I need someone to remind me. I'm a husband, but I know this. My wife knows this better. I'm not a good husband. I've developed here and there, but I need encouragement. I need guidance. Maybe you're on that. Maybe you're a wife. Pastor, you know, I'm a mother too, and I'm juggling things. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a teenager, Pastor, and there's a lot of pressures out there. My parents don't know this and this and this. I'm scared, you know, where my life is headed to. I need someone. Praise God. You're here. Because this is where Christ will mold us all together. If you have that desire, please approach me, any of our deacons, any of Pastor Wayne, and we will pray and consider how we're going to apply 2 Timothy 2:2 to our lives, individually and as a church. I pray that whatever God has started in the life of Wayne and Nolene and have done for many years will continue in our lives. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, O Lord, that the focus truly is about Christ. He's the one who gave us all these beautiful gifts. And one of those is our dear pastor and Nolene. Thank you, dear Lord, for your word. And I pray that you bless us in our hearts. We'll not forget it, Lord. Help us to meditate upon this week so we may respond with a God-glorifying action. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this point in time, I'd like to call on Wayne and Nolene here up front, please. It's truly my joy to be able to stand up here with them. And their lives truly have blessed us, even just for a year and a half. How much more with you guys? I'm jealous. But we praise God for your life. And we'd like to call the Murphys as we present these simple tokens of our appreciation for your ministry and love for the church.
Says Wayne, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lamb with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Central Mountains has been blessed to have you as our shepherd. And then Nolly, a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Thank you for sharing your home with us, with so many. We are grateful to you and your family and the countless ways you have served and sacrificed. I should have had my glasses on. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. And Wayne and Olin, please stay. We have a few brothers and a sister who will come up and pray for you. So let's call on Mike, David, and then Helen to pray for Wayne and Nolene.
Let's pray. Our loving Father, we just want to give you thanks today again for our dear brother and sister Wayne and Nolene. We're thankful to you for their many years of faithful service here at Hazelbrook, for the way in which they have served, they've led and taught this family of believers here. We thank the Lord for our Wayne's faithful exposition of the word, the preaching of the gospel, and of course his passionate love for the Lord and love for his brothers and sisters in the Lord. We also thank Nolene for the way that she has supported and encouraged and helped in that ministry, for her work with the ladies and the children of the fellowship. And we thank you for the wonderful example of steadfast service and faithfulness that they are to us all. As they begin a new chapter in their lives, we just pray that they would find a rest in you as you continue to lead them on in new ways of serving. And we would ask your blessing on their lives for their future. And now may the God of hope fill them with all joy and peace in believing, that they may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name we would pray.
Our great God and Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the impact that Wayne and Nolene have had on this people and on this community. I thank you, Lord, for every cup of cold water they've given in your name. They shall surely not lose their reward. For everyone they've prayed for every newcomer into the community, into their street that they've knocked and greeted, for everyone that they've prayed for, even when we didn't know they were praying for us, for every ministry they've led and every counseling session, and all that was done, Lord, was done to your glory, for they served you, Lord. Lord, bless Wayne and Nolene, and I thank you for what they have done in Christ and how they've blessed this community. Bless them in the days ahead, Lord. Give them great joy to see their children and children's children following after you, Lord, and to see this church flourish. We praise you. We thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, what a joy and privilege to pray for Nolene. We do want to honour her today and always for her service to you and us, but not just for her service, but for her and the person that she's been to us and will continue to be to us. We thank you for her gentle, humble, quiet, loving and obedient spirit. We thank you for the gifts that you've given her that have been used to bless every person she's ever had any sort of contact with. Personally, I thank Nolene for her love toward Glenn and I, our children, our grandchildren, her faithfulness in praying for us and loving us. That's brought so much blessing. Nolene has influenced so many in this way. What an amazing thing to have influenced up to 3 generations of our family and so many families in this church. It's so hard to think of words that actually describe what Nolene has been to us. But, you know, I think of friend, sister, mother, grandmother, and sometimes combinations of all of those, Father. I just want to thank you too for Nolene's testimony of the goodness of her Heavenly Father and the love of her Saviour Jesus. Nolan has seen sadness, loss, grief, exhaustion, and has walked through serious illness in her life in the time that she's been here. She's experienced much love, blessing, joy, and reward. Through all this, her testimony has been of your goodness, and I just praise God for that. Father, as Nolene enters a new season in life, we pray that you would give rest for her body and spirit. We pray for renewal each day. We pray that as she looks to you, that every day her hope would be renewed. Father, we pray for great blessing in her future and for that of Wayne. And, you know, as Jan has said, we just see so much ahead of you in service for the Lord. I just want to thank you, God, for this beautiful woman and what she's meant to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's go give our applause for our pastor. Thank you. We praise the Lord for you guys. Wayne, Nolene, any words?
The pastor's wife. When I came here before I was 40, there was no job description. I just sought to be a faithful mother, a faithful wife, and a servant for the Lord. And I was 100% with Wayne. The calling was for both of us to serve him together. Along the journey, we have had many joys and times of great sadness, times to laugh, times to cry. But I can testify that God's grace has always been sufficient. Grace to choose to love, grace to hold no grudges, grace to forgive, grace to let go and just let God do the work. And God's grace is the cross. It's been a great privilege to serve God here amongst you. And I want to thank each one of you who have prayed for me, who have given to us financially, who encouraged and blessed me as a friend with notes, thoughts, cards, ministering together, and genuine care, and especially in times of struggles. It's been a great privilege to serve God with my best friend. We shared the whole journey of ministry. We'd start the day in the Word and pray together. We'd ask God what he wanted us to do for the day. We raised our family and we sought to teach our children to serve God because God is worthy. God has been very gracious to us. And I'm thankful today that I grew up in a home as a child where I was loved, where the hymns of the faith were sung, where God was feared. My parents taught me whatever my hand found to do it with all my might. And they modelled a care for people. They taught me it was more blessed to give than to receive. And that love is the greatest gift of all. And if I didn't have love or live love, I really had nothing. So I've learned from my mistakes too, and I'm genuinely sorry where I failed you, where I failed to meet your need in word or action, and where it didn't help to heal or bless you. And even in the family of God, I've found that we can't meet everyone's need. We all have to go to God, lean on him and trust him in all that he allows in our lives. Grandchildren keep you young and keep you going. And one recent sentence was, "Race you to the end of the street, Granny." I reply, "Well, how about you run for me and I'll walk?" and dear friends. We love you. Wayne and I gladly pass on the baton of faith to Jan, to see you, to run, to lead you all. We'll continue to serve God, our Master, at a walking pace, and we will cheer everyone here who can still run. So run with endurance, run the race of faith, look ever to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Be strong and very courageous. Never give up. And remember, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. I love you all. Thank you all for coming, and thank you for the gifts. God bless you.
Well, I've had about 29 years of hearing my say, so it's going to be very short for me. I am very grateful for each one of you, and there's no regrets for what we've done through the years. And I just rejoice to see the faces of so many here today. It's a joy to serve the Lord, and I really appreciate what you said today, Pastor Jan, because it is teamwork together, and I'm grateful that you have ministered to us as we've ministered to you. It's by his grace, if there has been anything good that I've said, anything helpful, anything true, anything gracious, it is Carlo the Lord. And I'm glad to repeat that because it's true. And for the times where I've failed and you've seen me, and you can think of those times instead of the Lord. Please forgive me. I want to walk with you in friendship and working with Pastor Jan as we move on together. I'll be asking, Pastor, what would you like me to do? If he gives me a list of things, I might cross some of them off. I don't know. Some of them I might be able to do. So you've enabled this ministry exactly as Pastor Jan said. And the Lord has enabled this ministry. I have nothing that I've done of myself except that which is so. I'm so very grateful for all the fellowship and all the blessing over the years. Thank you. I want to say I love you too, as Nolly said.